Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Labors for Christ Word Life Center, Wednesday Spiritual Growth and Development. We are studying together in the powerful revelation of our search for significance. So if you enjoy this musical selection that kind of speaks to what we're doing, we ask that you get your books, paper, pencil, your homework, so we will be ready to jump right in it. Remember, you are supposed to come up with your 10 things and your evaluation of what influences you. You are supposed to rate them. So get your things out so that you can be prepared.
Broken, alone, and afraid, feeling ashamed of all of the pain. Down on my knees, praying, Lord, please. I'm only human. Excuses I have made. Lord, please change me. Clean me inside out. Cleanse my heart, my mind, and soul. Lord, take control. Change me only like you can do. I need you to change. Bigger than my mistakes, no, you still love me. No, by your grace, nothing left to do but give my life to you.
Hey!
Amen, amen. We surrender this process to the perfecter of our faith. So we want to start this evening session off with prayer. And I believe the prophet's on the line. He can bring us prayer.
Good evening, everyone. Praise God.
Good evening, prophet. Good evening.
Good evening. Good evening. We'll open up with a word of prayer and just some decrees as we are continue to believe God to draw us into that deep well place, that invite that he has purpose and ordained for us to come up hither and to come up to that place where we can enjoy the fullness of his presence. We'll read the January declaration. We've decreed and declared that this month is the finger of God. I declare January is the shut door month. God is closing the doors and breaking cycles. I decree cycles of pain, poverty, perversion, disoppression, hurt, offense, fear, and demonic cycles is broken this month. I pray according to Micah 2:13, the breaker, the one who breaks through walls, will push through and walk to the front of his people, liberating them. They will break out, pass through the gate, and go out. They will leave with their king marching before them with the Lord at the front of his people. I decree all doors are shut and cycles is broken. I declare a season of sight, sound, and scribe. I will see what God has said. I will hear what he has done, and I will write what he is doing. I believe the finger of God has inscribed my future on the tablet of my heart, and I agree with God's original plan for my life. I make war on the enemies of my past, present, and future, and declare Nahum 2:13, "Behold, I am against you, says the Lord of hosts. I am now your enemy, says the Lord of heaven's army. I will burn your chariots and smoke, and the sword shall devour your young lions. I will cut off your prey from the earth, and the voice of your messenger shall be heard no more in Jesus' name." Father, we thank you for this invite to go on this journey and encounter, to have an experience with the Godhead, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. We believe that you are bringing us into experiences that we've not yet seen, heard, or known of. Father, we decree and declare today we remove all fear of failure, our future, falling forward in our destiny and following God's plan for our lives. We decree and declare that the wind is doing the work in this season, the winds of change, the winds of prosperity, the winds of health, the winds of wealth is blowing our direction. We decree and declare that the days of rowing are coming to an end, and we sail on the wind and the breath of God. We pray Psalm 63:8. It declares, "With passion I pursue and cling to you, because I feel your grip on my life. I keep my soul close to your heart." God, we thank you that you have a grip on our life. You have a divine plan that supersedes the plot, plan, and schemes of the enemy. And so, God, we make a confession. Give us a devotion. Give us a life that's committed to the person and not the purpose. Give us a purpose-driven life that we will pursue after you and you alone. We thank you that 2 Samuel 5:20 declared that David came to Baal-Perazim, and he defeated them there and said, "The Lord has broken through my enemies before me like a breakthrough of water." So he named that place Baal-Perazim, the master of breakthroughs. God, thank you that you are the master of the breakthrough. You push past anxiety. You push past all fears, worries, and doubt. And we thank you for what you are doing. We decree and declare that Judah, praise shall be our plow. praise shall go before us and bring us into our breakthrough season. We decree divine healing is coming over. Divine healing is coming over unseen areas in our physical bodies, mental health, relationships, and emotions. We decree the breaker is causing us to break through the walls this year. He has gone before us, leading the way out and leading us into a healthy and a wealthy place. Father, we decree because we are in relationship with you and the work that you're doing through this book, the curse is over. And the blessing is released over us. The blessing is released in us. And the blessing is released to us. We decree and declare that you are the master breaker. And you're breaking every trigger off of our life that keep us from moving forward into God's plan for our lives. We decree and declare that this is our rest season. And we will not sabotage God's will or plan for our lives. We decree and declare that we're no longer attracted to our pain and we receive the plan that God has for us. And we decree and declare that our childhood traumas won't be our adult triggers. We are healed from all childhood pains and we live a whole adult life, a holy life for Jesus.
In Jesus'
name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you so much, Father, has set the tone for our gathering this evening with a powerful January decree. And in it, it talks about cycles being broken. And what we're looking at in our search for significance are these cycles that we've been in, and sometimes without our even knowing that that's what was going on. We didn't know what the basis of our belief was that kept us from progressing, but kind of made a rut in our life and in our emotions, more in our emotions and in our environment. And how, you know how they say some people, they go after the same thing, no matter different faith, different time, but it's in a different faith, but it's the same thing. And we are realizing that's because of cycles that were in us based on the lies of the enemy. And so we looked at four lies. We've been exposed to them. And so I want to know someone to share what was the first lie of the enemy we have been exposing in our study. Okay, take your phones off mute. We're going to be really interactive today and next week especially. And so what was the first lie that we looked at, that we've been evaluating and we have been evaluating its results, what it looks like, why it looks like that, what it causes us to do that isn't progressive in our spiritual walk? So what was the first lie of the enemy that we looked at? You can speak. Apostle is waiting.
Okay. So, for me, that there, I need to perform to maintain ..
Yes,
so with whatever it is, there is a certain level or quality of performance or excellence or execution that I must do in order to maintain it.
Amen. Someone else is about to share? Don't get shy now. Just speak up.
Elder Roberta?
Okay. And this is true, as Apostle has shared. Yeah. Katie, is that you?
No, ma'am, that wasn't me.
Oh, okay. Well, I hope you're ready. because I hear that you're going to share those 10 things. Everybody was supposed to come up with 10 things that we don't believe God will do for us. But when we were looking at the first step, the first lie, as Apostle said, is that performance trap. And that trap of trying to maintain a standard that has been put forth in whatever area we are have activity in that is not established by God. And so when we looked at this, we saw some of the indications and signs that we were basing it on the wrong thing or for the wrong reason. The motive was not correct, and even doing good things with a bad motive did not help. Doing bad things with a good motive does not help. But what we're finding, what we had to search and discover, our search for significance, is the fact that all things that must be done will and has been done by God. And so his answer to our fear of failure, our performance trap that we get into because we don't want to fail, the performance trap we get into because we don't want to feel the pain of our failures. We had a meeting this weekend, and I think someone had the anomaly for fail as something really that's positive because you grow from it. I don't know if anybody remembered the F-A-I-L and what each one of the letters stood for. But we have to come up with an understanding of God's he understands. And so he's taken, if you will, all of the work out of this thing. He's promised he will do it. So because we get caught up in the performance track, and he knew that we would because we would be searching for acceptance. We would be desiring to be included. We would desire to have a positive reputation, if you will. And so there's a certain way we want people to think of us based on certain standards in certain areas of influence and of activity. And as a result, we get caught up in the doing. And it was shared, I think, last week that we are not called to do, we are called to be. And so he took the work out of do by sending his son. And so we realize that this justification, and he makes it clear throughout the scripture, and he starts with it in Romans, where he explains to us everything that he's done and everything that we can count on him having done for us that will justify us and remove that propensity to perform. It says, but God, our work he has established and secured because he is sovereign, and his sovereignty has imputed to us his righteousness and the righteousness of Jesus Christ. So without Christ's righteousness, we would have no basis on which to stand before God, no matter what we did, no matter how we performed, no matter what we said, no matter how it looked on the outside. It's without that justification through Jesus Christ, we would not have a right, nor would we be able to stand before God. And so in Romans 3:24, it tells us, it's my grace. I gave you what you don't deserve. And in Romans 3:28, he says, not by works. No standard that you can meet is going to work or help you be acceptable to me because it is his gift to us. And then in Romans 5:1, he says, faith by means you appropriate what Christ has done for you. You got to believe. You believe that he has done, and it is imputed to us as righteousness. And then in Romans 5:9, because of justification, and this is the beautiful one, your sin is forgiven and it is forgotten. So we don't have to re-drudge those things that we did and beat ourselves up about it, because all we're doing is reinitiating pain, because we're trying to be self punishing. We like to punish ourselves, or we like to punish other people by bringing it up to them. But he says, I forgive you, and I forget it. It never happened. And it says that we have this peace, that we are no longer, and that's what the word was for January. We're no longer an enemy of God. We have this peace with God, which he shares with us in Romans 5 and 1. And then he says, we are saved from his wrath. We don't have to worry about being punished. So often we have this performance track because we fall into it because we don't want to be punished by rejection or the thoughts that people have towards us that are negative. And he lets us know his thoughts about us are equal with his thoughts about his son. I love that analogy that the author gave. And he had two, a person was sitting next to Christ, and someone else asked God, which one of these? And he said he sees them both the same, which shows what the power of being in Christ does for us eternally. And that's a power we cannot do for ourselves. So we are saved from his wrath. We have no condemnation remaining for us to bear. A lot of people like to wear their, the repercussions of their sins on their shoulders. Oh, woe is me, because I did this, and now I'm burdened with this thing. No, there is no condemnation. You are not condemned because of what you have done. And we, because of that, that's like a weight lifted up. And that's where we feel that freedom and that liberty to then just honor the image of God, the very person of God, reflect his image, because we have this freedom that he has given to us. We are declared righteousness, and then on top of that, we become heirs in heaven. He says we're seated there in heavenly places. These things are ours. It's our inheritance. It is the grace that is on our life because of Jesus Christ. And so then the author shares with us, and I hope that people will find this and just read it. Read it daily. Read it every now and then when you don't feel like you're who you want to be or who you should be even, because so often we're hard on ourselves than God is. And that doesn't make us good or better. That makes him look like he's not doing his job. So that doesn't honor him at all when we do that, because he's the one saying, this is what I've done for you. And I think Evangelist Katie on the Tuesday morning prayer, all of the promises that he's made, if we walk around self-condemning, then it's like those promises are null and void. You can't see the benefit of them. The only way the world will know our God is for us to reflect the manifestation of his promises. That's why those M's are so important, because it not just helps us, but what it does is it flows into the earth realm so that people will see and know God and know his true character. We have misrepresented him in so many ways because we were steeped in our own pain, in our own secret faults, in our own trap of performing. And so people didn't see the love and the grace and the power of God. We did not reflect him. But he shares with us, and he tells this to us. This is his personal vow to us, or not more than a vow. This is his personal, this is his heart to us. He wants us to know that we are deeply loved, we are completely forgiven, we are fully pleasing, and we are totally accepted by God. We are absolutely complete in Christ. And so when that becomes the thing that's in the forefront of our mind, we won't have to try to please other people. We will be so free and so liberated and empowered by love. Empowers you. Love makes you bold. Love makes you a compassionate person. It makes you a helpful person. When you have love that you're flowing from, there's so many things that there would be no hard words. There would be no need for violence. If we have this deep love, there would be no need for counselors, okay, because we got in a place emotionally because of someone else's hurt or someone else's influence on us. But when we get this part of the one statement of who we are, I am deep, not just loved, but deeply loved. You know, he says it's deep, wide, and high. You can't get over, can't get under, can't get around it. We are deeply loved and completely forgiven. And in that forgiveness comes the fact that he will remember it no more. Now, that's a promise. Now, if we believe that promise, then he tells us, you know, when we ask, forgive me my sins as I forgive those that sin against me, then he expects us to forgive like he forgives. And that's forgiving and forgetting and no longer holding it under a condemnation umbrella over someone when you see them and you get a or you know they see you coming and automatically their spirit becomes wounded and timid because they don't know what to expect. They should always, always be able to expect from us the same kind of deep love that flows from the cross, and it should flow into all of those that we come into alignment with. And so those are the two things, because we're getting ready to move on to another lie of the enemy, but we want to make sure that we have embraced this truth and we are able to replace that lie, but more in place to identify it, because so often we don't really correctly identify it. So as he put forth those different results of this type of thing, this performance, and a lot of people think, well, I'm not a perfectionist. Well, he begs to differ, and his scripture will show it to you, because he shows you what's at the heart and the seat of a perfectionist. You know, it's something that in the world today, they want perfection. But in the world today, the only way you will find perfection is by the perfector, and that's God Almighty. So anybody else, this last two offerings of the author, the source of our truth, the truth of justification, the source of the lie, and how that lie looks, and why that lie robs us and steals from us. And at this point, because we're surrendering, okay, we are identifying it, and the Lord is showing us he's taking it away, and it is no longer there to taunt us. Let us not be the one to find it and give it legs back into our life, okay? Because that's the only way to come back. If we go find it and give it legs back in our life, and we decide we're going to be offended because, you know, they didn't accept something I did, or we're going to start fearing, you know, not things that to come, but those things that he has delivered us from. He has shown us the truth in it so that that can be built upon as we go forth. So any other insights, inputs, offerings? A lot of you did studies, particularly in certain aspects of the day's presentation. You know, this is the time to share it, a declaration that has come because of your study, or prayer that has come because of this study. This is our opportunity to share, because what may have happened to you may be happening with someone else, and they can be encouraged. They can be encouraged to know, you know, we're walking through this together, and we are. Anybody, take your phones off mute.
Overseer.
Yes.
This is Connie
yes.
Henderson.
Yes, ma'am.
It's so long ago, but it's what I remember, the lie that was being told to me. My mom and I, we went to the aid office to see if they could give me some help to go to college. And the lady that was there, she asked me what I wanted to be. And I told her I wanted to be a teacher. And the lie that she said, well, I could not be a teacher The only thing that I could be was a hairdresser or a someone's house. So I said to my mom, let's go. And when we got outside, she said, well, why you didn't stay? I said, because I want to be a teacher, and I'm more than a hairdresser or just cleaning a house. That's stereotyping, because the lady was of the other race. So I went to school, and I excelled in school, and I did become a teacher. And I believe that because I didn't accept what she had tried to plant it in me, and because of God, that's why I succeeded. And then another one was I get on the church folks at every now and then because I'm quiet, and they say I don't speak up. They were telling there it was being told around the church that I was weak, and that bothers me too, because I kept on saying to God, I'm not weak. You told me to be strong. I was quoted the word, and so when it came time for me to present my lesson, a couple starch teachers, I would say, were sent back to, you know, judge. But the lesson that God had given me to present it was awesome, that even they came out and they couldn't go back and say, no, she's not weak. So the one that was kept saying, she's weak, that person started saying to the congregation, Minister Connie is not weak, she's strong, you know, and she started speaking the scriptures to me. So and every time he would do it, I would say, thank you, Jesus, because I knew that it was God that was giving him the insight of me. And the scripture God would give me said, a quiet person is precious in his eyesight. So I feel highly moved by God, because that I'm always quiet, always been like that. But and he said to be strong. That's another scripture that God would give to me, to be strong. So those two lies did not take hold on my life. And I'm still quiet. And I still went to school and become a teacher. And I taught for 42 years. Yeah. And my classroom excelled in the classroom. So we have to speak the life, the word that God has given us. He said we are wonderfully and fearfully made, that there's no good thing that he will withhold from us. We can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. So if we start speaking the word of God in our lives, we will not allow lies to take hold of us.
Man, thank you so much. Powerful testimony. So these are some questions I want to ask you, and I need answers for them. You can turn them in. You can email the answers to me. As I told everybody, to get a pencil and a piece of paper out. This is also on Blog Talk, so you can go back to Blog Talk and get the questions. I can send them out by email as long as I have your email. But one of the things that before we move on, because I want the foundation of the next thing to be built on something solid that he has shown us, even as you're going to share you're going to rate those 10 things that's in your life and the influence, the power, the influence of them on your life, as well as those, I think it's more than 10 on that, was the 10 things that you don't believe that God will do for you. Okay, 10 things. Because as we attack those things with his truth, it's what will place us firmly in our process of healing. And I know a lot of people say, well, you know, I don't have performance and I don't have a fear of failure, you know, and if we say that, if we say that, we just have to be true, sure, to then say the first scripture that we have. Search me, O God, and know my heart.
Yes.
Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there's any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Because so often we really do evaluate ourselves based on our understanding of a standard and not necessarily his. But when the Holy Spirit does his work, he will convict, and we will hear it because we have learned to hear his voice. Okay, so the first question, which I asked you already, was, what is the first lie? And then the question that follows after that is, what is God's truth that dispels that lie? Okay? And then, what does Satan lie keep us from? What does Satan lie that we believe is in our belief system? And what does he keep us from? I hear a little static. I don't know. You may need the phones on mute just in case that sometimes that.
Repeat number two again. What does Satan lie?
What does Satan's lie keep us from? And these are all in the book.
Can we answer that now, Overseer?
You certainly can, absolutely.
Well,
I'm sure
only because when you said it, the very first thing that came to my mind was that one of the things that Satan's lie keeps me or has kept me from is the joy of serving.
Yes. Hallelujah. Yes, it does. Awesome answer. Very, very good.
And, you know, one of the things, and we shared that statement of truth about us, we are deeply loved and fully pleasing. And, well, and like I say, look at your lessons, and as Apostle has shared, and what does God show you? What is the lie that you believe? And, a lot of people say, well, I didn't believe a lie. Well, have it in your heart, because there's something that was in it that kept you from doing something. And it was based on something that was not true. And so you want to be able to identify that. And then the third one is three things that you must do to change the way you do things. List three things that you must do to change the way you do things. Okay. And then the next one, I kind of gave it to you, is what does your identity in Christ say about you? And I want you to pick the identity that you're going to share and make it apply to something that you really didn't believe. And now you're coming to believe it. Because a lot of people don't feel that they're totally forgiven. Or that they're completely acceptable. So make sure the three things that you pick will address those issues. Okay, what happens when you judge yourself? What happens when you judge yourself on your past performance? And then next, motivation for obedience. List two things that are good motivators and two things that are bad motivators that you have used. And let's not say, no, I've always been motivated by good, because, no, we haven't always been motivated by good. So two things that you are familiar with, because the Lord has shown that to you, and he's given you that victory over, because that becomes your testimony. It says we glorify him by our testimony. And what glory is your testimony going to give if you don't have fear of failure? No, I don't got that. No, I don't do that. No, I don't do that. No, no, no. Then what has God done? What are you declaring him of him, of his cares, of his power, of his sovereignty? What? So those are some of the things that we want to look at and allow the Holy Spirit to bring a revelation of them in us, you know, as we go forward to the addiction addict. So you'll kind of do that this week. And we're going to start giving out some assignments for the week. Excuse me. I think it's the week 5. Well, okay. Yeah. That would be week 5. Okay. So are there any insights, inspiration, input that you would like to make, the observations you've seen, revelation he's given you? Anybody? The lines are open.
Overseer, everything that you said tonight was a long conversation that I had with my accountability. So I understand that she's the bus driver for tonight. She's
okay.
My bus driver.
All right.
One of the things that we talked about with regard to the list, to the 10 things, and the list just kept going and going and going. And that's with the first experience conference, and the very first time we did the olives, we pressed the olives. God had me to write down this list, kept writing down this list of things that either needed to be that needed to be corrected in my own life or in the life of those attached to me, and a lot of stuff generationally. So I ended up with this list of probably, I think it was like 83, 86, something like that. It was in the 80s.
Okay.
This list of 86 different things. And so one of the things while we were talking that Holy Spirit revealed was, you don't have 10. You have a long laundry list of things that you don't believe. One is because I had to ask the question, why is it that I don't believe those things when you told me to write the list, because these are the things that we needed to work on together, you and I, so that we can break some things generationally, you know, the whole nine yada yada. And one of the things that he said is, you believe it for everybody else, and it's not that you don't believe I can do it. You just don't believe that I can do it for you, which takes away the power of the promises that I read every day. And that was like a punch in the gut to me, because I understand that he has me reading them and has me praying them and declaring them for that exact reason, so that I would understand exactly how much power he's released into, over and around my life, and that only my disbelief, and I had to keep saying while he was talking, help my unbelief, help my unbelief, help my unbelief,
because
one of the lies of the enemy is that I won't receive the promises of God, that the things that he told me I would get, I'll never get those, you know. And and I keep saying, oh, that's definitely a lie. That's definitely a lie. God decreed it. I've watched him do it for others. I know he can do it for me. Now, the truth about that is I feared that he wouldn't do it. And because I wouldn't turn the light on in that darkness of fear, there was no way for me to dispel the myth, because I wouldn't turn the light on. So, you know, God says things all the time that I'm going to do X, Y, and Z, and A, B, and C. Mm-hmm. And then I, you know, I've heard myself on my on the inside of me going, "Who's mm-hmm. saying that?" As if I mm-hmm. don't know his voice, you know. Mm-hmm. And basically giving him slapping back in his face what he said to me, calling him a liar, you know, all of those. I'm like, God, I never mm-hmm. do. I yeah. never say those things. But in actuality, mm-hmm. that's exactly what I've been doing. And it's the reason that things have been so slow moving. It's the whole reason that things have been so slow moving is because I've been going, I don't know if that's God. You mm-hmm. know, and until I know that it's God, with no doubt, then things are going mm-hmm. to move slow, you know. And then, you know, he mm-hmm. then, Apostle started saying, you can't even mess it up if God is going to do it. And then I mm-hmm. started watching him manifest things in my life, and that started to build mm-hmm. Faith for me that he would do mm-hmm. some things for me. One mm-hmm. of the other things is I've watched him do and say things to other people, those around me, those assigned, Apostle says, to hear my mm-hmm. voice. I've watched some miraculous things happen for those people. And I can clearly see what God is saying concerning them. But when it comes to seeing and looking and hearing those things for myself, he says, what do you look like? And mm-hmm. I don't even know what I look like. Because Michael mm-hmm. Jackson sang that song, The Man in the Mirror. Mm-hmm. I said, but what if the yeah. man in the mirror is a lie? What if that's mm-hmm. truly not me? Because I've never seen myself with my own eyes, ever. Mm-hmm. I haven't seen myself with my own eyes. I've seen you completely. I can see everything about you, which, which is why I can see what's going on with you, and I can hear what Holy Spirit is saying about what's going on with you, but I've never looked at myself, and I think that was on purpose mm-hmm. because mm-hmm. I was afraid of what I would see.
Yeah.
I was afraid of what he would say about what I'm seeing, and I didn't want to look.
Yeah.
So a whole lot has come out of these, out of this lesson. It's something that's still transforming. It's still being revealed. It's on so many levels. It's just unbelievable. I just wanted to share that.
Amen. Powerful testimony. Absolutely. Absolutely. And as you were speaking, I was reminded of the prophetic word that said you will not miss fire. And it's like when we get these words, and I'm beginning to understand and believe, okay, everybody knows I believe mm-hmm. the prophet about a lot of things, but there are some things that you hear and it's like, oh, that's for the church. But he really is speaking to us individually. And when mm-hmm. he says you will not miss fire, it's like, don't worry, I got this. You know, Paulette, you know, you don't have to try to be perfect. You don't have to try to be a perfectionist, because I am the perfecter. He gives us so many things to release us of the burden of the lie that we've been carrying around with us. And unconsciously or consciously, I love when I first read that scripture, deliver thou me from secret faults and let not presumptuous sin have dominion over me, then I will be free of the evil one, and the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in thy sight. And it had so much power that I still don't fully understand it all. But I know mm-hmm. that I believe it, I claim it, I declare it, and it is my prayer. So that was the prayer that came out of that. And so just you sharing that, I encourage people, look back over those declarations. They are God's personal voice to us as individuals, as a church as well. But individually, he is meeting the need that he knows we have to feel deeply loved, completely forgiven, accepted, totally accepted in Christ. He is wanting us to get it.
And so I do. I feel like just even the just the different ways he moves among the people of God to release in obedience something that he tells them to do, and how that then starts blessing a multitude and starts working in different people, different things. And so I remember when, you know, I always talk about this Tuesday morning prayer. And I knew the blood of Jesus cleansed me from my sin, but I needed to know something other than that. And it's been since that walk that I understand. And so I didn't honor the blood of Jesus. I didn't. Not the way it needs to be honored. Not the way the revelation of its truth needs to get in our heart, you know. And so when he starts revealing it, it really does humble you. There is nothing we can bring to the table, nothing I can bring to the table. No understanding, no teaching, no nothing. It is the divine, holy blood of Jesus that's accomplishing the things in the earth realm through his people. It's him walking in us. And so these things that, you know, how else would I have gotten? And I don't know, it could have been other ways. But this was a way that I had to, first of all, surrender to authority. Because my first thought was, I don't get up this time of morning. God, no. Since I've retired, that's the blessing of God. I figured, you know, I get up at 12. But who cares? Okay. Well, he did. He does. Yeah, he does, because now I do. But the whole point was this. I think Prophet said it. He was building discipline in me to first do something outside of my own flesh and my own lust. You know, I lust to sleep, okay? And then do something I'm not comfortable. Take me totally out of my comfort zone. Teach, I can do, pray. You know, my grandson tell me, he said, I called Apostle. He said, Grandma, you don't pray. It's like, excuse me? Wasn't my reputation in the family. Now, there's other things, but that was not one of my, what they felt my strong point was, which was true. And that had to be corrected. So all of these things he does, just because one person said, okay, let's do this, and called and told me, you're going to do that. And I'm thinking, excuse me? But I had to humble myself. Then and that's like she always said, I had to repent. How dare I? How dare I? You know, and so when we get to these places with these truths, as they come forth, they just illuminate so greatly the true darkness that we walked in, we've been walking in. We didn't know it was dark. So he put this great light, and then you know really what dark was when he puts the light in. And so it is such a powerful way of this fellowship. That's why it's so important. He said, fail not to assemble yourself together. And he's just showing how those aren't just words. Those aren't just flowery, ooh, it's nice. Fail not to. It's more, always so much more than that. Always so much deeper than that. Because he knows that there is a source, three core strands. People start knitting themselves in and out of their spiritual walk with one another. You know how powerful it becomes? That's a wall that can't nobody break through. And that's what the church is intended to be, okay, this mighty monument of the blood of Jesus, quite frankly, and what it will do in the earth realm. And it even releases the promises. The blood had to come so the promises could be fulfilled. I'm thinking, what? That's what communion is. It's like, yeah, it's, you know. So everything now takes on a meaning that really does point people to God, because we got it. You know, we had that light bulb. And that light bulb really is really the glory of God being released on us, and then we shine with his glory. That's what the light bulb is. So anybody else?
Let me share one more thing, yeah. And then I'll shut up.
No problem.
Okay, so what you just said brought out one other powerful thing that he showed me. One of the things was I have this self-correcting behavior. It was one of the things you brought out earlier also. I have this self-correcting behavior because I don't want anybody punishing me, nor do I want to experience their wrath. regarding anything that I do. So I tend to way overcorrect myself. And one of the things he said about that is, if I need to bring correction, sometimes you do more harm overcorrecting yourself than just allowing me to tell you. And then he says, he put it in quotes for me. I am my own Lord. You're overcorrecting and self-correcting because you have a Lord complex. That I can do this, I can do that. Let me do it so that you don't have to do it. Kind of syndrome, which is I had to end up repenting for that because. You know, if he needs to show me something, who am I to say that I know better?
Exactly.
That was another powerful thing that he revealed in this whole process.
Amen. Wonderful dialogue, wonderful sharing and transparency and worship. This is worshiping him, thanking him. These are the testimonies of the saints. That brings glory to God. Anybody else?
Overseer.
Yes, ma'am.
Hello?
Yes.
All right. Since we began this series, The Search for Significance, God has given me also to read a devotional book on a daily basis, and I came across a reading. It says it comes from Jesus is Calling, Sarah Young. That book, find freedom from seeking to please me above all else. You can only one master. When you let others expectations drive you scatter your energy to the winds. Your own desire to look good can also drain your energy. I am your master. I do not drive you to be what you are not. Your pretense displeases me, especially when it is in my service. Concentrate on staying close to me at all times. It is impossible to be inauthentic while you are focusing on my presence. For you were once darkness, but now you are in the light. You are the light in the Lord. Live as children of the light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. And find out what pleases the Lord. That was Ephesians 5:8. This book has helped me just go about, it gets me as a tone and it prepares me, for the day ahead. And I find it to be just encouraging and it's uplifting me, even through going through this series, because when you're digging into yourself, on a deeper level, I've tapped into the surface level, but this is now a little bit deeper and a little bit personal. One of my things I want to share real quick, and I'm going to be quiet, was one of those 10 things that I couldn't believe that God was going to do, and that's heal me from my brokenness. I've been broken so many different times and areas in my life that I just became accustomed to this is the way that it's going to be, since becoming a member of LSC and just taking a deeper look at things, I'm really starting to not believe that anymore. That was the lie of the enemy. That happiness is for me, freedom is for me. Scripture said, "Then you will know the truth, and the truth shall set you free."
Yeah.
The truth is right here in black and white. It's being revealed to me, and it's up to yourself to apply it and to be honest about, is this really what's going on with me? Is this really what I'm going through? Do I experience this and that? So I'm real grateful to even go through this, you know, and to just be able to be transparent about it, you know, without being judged or even having that fear of being judged, because it's just not me, it's everyone else on the line that's sharing, you know, some of their, you know, personal experiences.
Amen.
Yeah, but just, that's what I wanted to share.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right. Is there someone else? Okay. Well, we are coming to the end of our time together today. So we're going to give assignments for next week. The approval addict. So if you've read that chapter, that week's offering, and there's a specific one that you feel drawn to, you can let me know and I'll write your name by it. Otherwise, I'm giving out assignments. So, hello, everybody. Okay. So day one, becoming friends, that will be Elder April. Day two will be the Winslows. If they're not on the line, don't worry, I will make sure they get it. And if you know they're not on the line, you can tell them. Day three is Evangelist Shannon. Day four, Pastor Tan. Day five, Minister LaDonna and Evangelist Narvella. They're going to both do day five. One is going to do the free gift, and the other is going to do no sin to filthy. That is Evangelist Narvella. So, is there anybody else that would like an assignment that I didn't give one to?
Hello? Hey, Pastor Norwood.
Yes, ma'am.
I'm in my car driving, listening in, so I don't have my book in front of me, but I like the topic.
Okay. Okay, well,
so you can,
Pastor,
I want to meet.
Norwood, you're going to do our words, reconciliation and mercy. You're going to bring us an understanding of those two words, reconciliation and mercy. They're all in week number five. And then Apostle KP, I know you're on here. You're going to bring us motivated to serve. This is a story that we need to unfold. So you're going to just take that opening scenario and unfold it for us on next week. Okay? Okay, and then there's one other assignment. Anybody else want it? It won't be hard.
This is Jen in Washington. I'll take it.
Amen. Amen. The key verse that
well, maybe I should ask what it is first.
Okay, it's Galatians 1 and 10. That's our key verse for that week. Exegesis it for us.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Thank you all. It's been a powerful time of sharing. Much blessings and blessings. I do need you to email me your answers to the questions. And we'll send it out in an email just in case somebody didn't get it. Now, if you know that I don't have your email address, because sometimes we have wonderful visitors on the line, you can text me your email address to my phone, 630-701-4303. Again, that's Overseer Paulette's phone number. It is 630
701-403-4303. Because we love you sharing with us, and we understand that sometimes people just want to share. They want to listen, but they do want to be a part of the study. And so I can definitely email this information to you if you send me your email address, which I will keep confidential as well. So is there anything else anybody else wants to add? Apostle, anything you want to add? We do want to remember one of the affiliates in prayer lost his sister.
Yes, we want to remember Bishop Orville Isaac, who lost his whose oldest sister made her transition. We want to keep that Isaac family up in prayer as they begin to travel to Maryland. And we also want to just remember Dr. Dorothy and Pastor Patricia Murphy as they are currently in the hospital, and all the other sick and shut-in, we want to remember the Adams family, Elder Vera and Deacon Cedric Adams. So if we can keep them lifted up in prayer. And then I just wanted to thank everybody for their participation on Sunday for the vision gathering. It was phenomenal. You were phenomenal. And be prepared. There is a sign-up sheet that will be available on Sunday for each individual to sign up for their individual strategy session with me that will look like you identifying what your personal ministerial and ministry goals are for 2021 and identifying and receiving the different capacities in which you desire to serve in. So the strategy sheet will be available on Sunday for people to sign up, and we actually will have slots for Sunday. And then throughout the week, all meetings will be held either virtually or via telephone. Thank you so much for your attention to these matters.
Amen. Amen. Any more announcements? I had one and I forgot it, but okay. All right. Then we will prepare ourselves for the closing prayer. We do want to remember our nation and our political leaders and our spiritual leaders because he'll heal the land when we do what we're supposed to do. And the land is in need of healing. So let us remember the leaders and those that have been given the responsibility, the judicial responsibility over us, as well as those that's been given the spiritual responsibility over us. All right. Prophet?
Amen. Such a powerful and awesome class. Thank each person for the light of their revelation that has been shared in our hearts. Let's pray together. Father, we do love you and thank you. We give you glory and honor for being a phenomenal God. We thank you that the Passion Version of John 10 says that you are the gateway. To enter through you is to experience life, freedom, and satisfaction. You said the thief has one thing in mind. He wants to steal, slaughter, and destroy. But I have come to give you everything in abundance, more than you expect, life in its fullness until you overflow. Father, we lift up those who are grieving bereavement today. We lift up our very own bishop and his father. We thank you that you are comforting them during this time of mourning. We thank you for taking their tears and bottling them up. Thank you, Father, that death for the believer is part of life, and we celebrate the reward and eternity that his sister has received. We thank you. To be absent from you is to be absent from this body, is to be present with you. And so we celebrate the crown that she has received, and the gift that she has now obtained, which is eternal life. Father, we lift up those who are in the hospital, and we touch and agree, God, that by your stripes they are healed. You said that the Son of Man will rise with healing in his wings. You promised to bless our bread and water and take sickness from among us. You said that the righteous would not be without affliction, but you would deliver us out of them all. And so we believe that. We stand on that word today. We stand on Mark 9:23 that says, as far as possibilities go, everything is possible for the person who believes. And we believe that you are healed. We believe that you operate in the miraculous. We believe that you are a deliverer. We don't come to deliver. You are a deliverer. You are the door. You are the way. You are the truth. And you are the life. And we thank you for that today. Father, we give you glory and honor for what you're doing in our lives. Thank you, Father, for shining the light to the lies. Yes. Thank you that you love us so much that you would not leave us in the darkness. And then I thank you that you're not just one who opens the door, but you actually come into that dark place, and you've given us your Holy Spirit who guards and draws us into all truth. And we thank you, Father. We thank you for the apostolic word that our apostle released that said, done happened, Father, meaning it is complete, it is finished, it has arrived, it is accomplished, and it is in our past. And so we decree and declare it done happened. In Jesus' name
Hallelujah.
We pray. Amen.
Amen and amen. Amen. Be blessed. Be blessed.
Amen.
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 Good night.
Amen. Good night.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night.